Ivy Rivera. I'm a psychic medium, a Taino Arawak, and I own a school called the Ivy League Psychic Academy. Today is 10 signs your house is haunted. How do you know if you have a haunted house? How do you know if it's the house that is the problem versus the land, which is a separate problem, or somebody in the house, which is even a third problem? Now, I don't want to bog this class down with too much talk about possession and attachments. However, Spirit impressed it upon me that it's critical that we get to this right now. One of the first free mini classes I did as part of the quarantine series was called How to Clear Your House or How to Clear Your Space. So you may also want to check that out. Now, one of the reasons I think it's so important that we talk about this right now is because of 2020, the things that happened in 2020. That are continuing at this time, but we had an influx. We had so many disastrous things happening at once and so many volatile reactions from everyone to those things that we saw here at the Academy, me and my personal reading business, so many additional paranormal consultations, possessions, attachments, haunted houses, that it was literally off the charts. Last week, I trained 4 new teachers in being able to step out and help with this workload. It is out of control, and we all need to remember and be mindful that negative and toxic lower energies in the universe are very real, and that when we're uneducated, we're ignorant to it, that's when we're most susceptible. So ignoring it isn't going to help. Denying it isn't going to help. Thinking that it's someone else's problem isn't going to help. It's everybody's problem. And right now, due to the state of the world, yes, the pandemic, yes, the racial injustice, yes, the political turmoil and the paranoia and the conspiracy theories, and we just add and add and add. We've also got an increase in depression, anxiety, mental illness, drug and alcohol abuse. All of this means that there's such an increase in paranormal activity that even if it isn't in your house, even if it wasn't originally going on with you, you will be affected in one way or another. So today's class is not just about identifying what might be going on with you. It's also about how you can identify and help others in a situation like this. So let's keep our eyes and ears open, okay? And let's keep an open mind as we listen to all of this. Now, before I get into the 10 different signs, I do want to talk about the other class that we have. If you're hearing some of this and you say, I want the full training, it's called Hauntings, Clearings, and Attachments class. It's up on my website. It's a 2-hour training, more in-depth than what we'll get to today. A couple of the things that are important for you guys to pay attention to. I want to talk about 7 different things quickly, and then I'm going to get into the 10 signs. The most important thing I'm noticing right now with the pandemic going on, the quarantine, is that people are saying, well, I have a family member who's being affected by a paranormal attack. I have a family member who has an attachment. They think maybe someone has a possession, or they think that they have some paranormal activity in the house, but only really one person is noticing it really bad. Here's what's important to remember. Just because the most sensitive person in the house is affected, just because the most intuitive person in the house is aware or upset by it, doesn't mean it isn't affecting everybody. We have different tolerance levels to things like this. When there's a paranormal problem, whoever has the highest level of intuitive intelligence, whoever reads that language, the spirit language, energy, they're going to notice it. But that does not mean that there aren't people in the house that are even more affected. You would see that with drug and alcohol abuse. You would see that with angry outbursts, mental deterioration, severe depression, all kinds of things. But it's important not to say, well, this one person in the house or one of my kids is really being affected. If one person's affected, everybody's affected, just in different ways. So the eyes will deceive you. We have to remember that paranormal energy, for lack of a better term, we want to say negative lower energies. You have to remember that they're not stupid. They're not blatant. They're not in your face. They're not making themselves obvious. what they're doing, their purpose of being there is to strip you of your energy. It's like you're a food source. So they're not going to come in like gangbusters announcing themselves. They're going to be sneaky about it. And you have to remember that that is absolutely going to cause deception in what you think is going on. They're also not very creative, so don't give them too much credit. Okay, number two, something else that's really important for you guys to understand is that there are two major triggers. Now, there are a bunch of other ones I talk about in the hauntings class on the website, but the two most common triggers that create, stir up a paranormal problem in the house is anger and fighting, and then depression or despair. Now, we don't want to just say, oh, well, you know, my family's loud. We talk loud. We kind of fight all the time. We're passionate, right? We're Italian. We're Puerto Rican. That's what we do. You know, it's not that kind of sort of feistiness. I'm talking about abuse. I'm talking about hatred. I'm talking about aggression. That is something that lingers and causes hauntings. So that is going to almost overnight create a toxic atmosphere that's really hard to get rid of. But we will also see that people who are just having a really bad bout of depression that's lasting a long time, or if there was an injury, if there was an illness, if they had circumstances in their life change, like maybe loss of a loved one or a divorce, anything like this can create a situation where someone is in a state of despair or depression for a long enough period of time where they tend to pick a spot in the house. It's their little haven. It's probably what they thought was going to be their sacred space. They sit in an area that brings them some level of comfort, and they stew in this negativity. And as they stew in that negativity, the paranormal energies start to come in and feed off of that space, and then it multiplies and it gets bigger. So for those of you who are listening and you're like, that's what's going on in my house. So-and-so had an injury, so-and-so went through depression, so-and-so got put on a lot of medications that were altering for them, this happened and they sat. You would notice that that part of the house has the biggest paranormal problem. That's where you notice the energy start, but then it slowly infiltrates the rest of the space, okay? So keep that in mind. I want to talk about number three. You cannot cleanse space and keep it cleansed if you have a trigger person in the house or coming over all the time or in your life. What do I mean by trigger person? Certain people have attachments and possessions, or they're super toxic and negative. And that's like gum on the bottom of your shoe. Every single time you step in that ish, it's there on you. We could say that other people's negativity is sticky in every other human being's energy field. That's why a lot of highly intuitive people learn techniques to protect themselves, okay? So my empathic awareness class up on the website, you can learn blocking techniques there. That would help you. But the reality is that if you are going to allow this person in your house, there's no blocking in the world that's going to save you from having a haunted house, a paranormal problem. There's no amount of gritting or smudging. There's no way to keep the energy clean, because every time this person is back on the property, they stir it up. Now, that's hard to hear, but that is the reality, and there's not a whole ton of ways for me to sweeten that message to you. You've got to move if they're not going to clean up their act, okay? Or if this is maybe like a child or something like that, this is something you're going to have to maintain all the time, and you're going to have to be super diligent about it. I would also say you're going to need help, okay? But if this is someone you need to set boundaries with, and you can set boundaries, that's going to have to happen. Sometimes people will clean up their ex. They will take the advice that I give them. They will get the help, and they will maintain a clean energy. Everything in the paranormal field is reversible with different levels of effort. It can get very hard when we start talking about things like possessions, exorcisms. It's difficult, but it is doable. We always have the power to choose high versus low. We always have free will. That will never be stripped from us. Okay, but the reality is most people who have paranormal problems are feeding. They're choosing it. They're choosing the negativity in their life. And it's unacceptable for everyone else in that atmosphere to have to suffer. Okay, their bad choices are their bad choices. And that's just life in general. So how do you know if you have a trigger person residing in your property or coming into your house all the time, or you're socializing with them and you have problems because of them? They could be an alcoholic. They could be addicted to drugs. They could be an abusive person, a narcissist, a sociopath, something like this. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe it's cleverly hidden. Sadly, it could be that someone is so depressed, they're not cleaning their energy field or maintaining it at all. We can have something like depression, and then unfortunately can develop into a paranormal attachment or worse. Could be that someone went through, again, an illness, an injury, something that limited their mobility for a long period of time, anything like that, that has caused them a great level of distress, or they're toying with dark energy. All right, I want to move on to number four. We talk a lot, especially with the TV shows that came out in the last 15 years, all these haunted shows. I can't stand any of that junk. But we talk so much about it, and we don't seem to want to evolve. And I've been contacted by several different TV stations who wanted to do the shows on this curriculum at the Ivy League, all kinds of spiritual development, intuitive intelligence. And every single time as we approach contracts, they want to just make it into a paranormal show. And I've been like, I am absolutely not interested in that at all. We aren't ready to evolve yet. We still see paranormal activity for some reason as super entertaining. It's entertaining. It's show value. It's something that we want to be able to identify with somehow, even if we don't really understand what we're over-identifying with. We hear a lot about haunted places because that's where the media is still stuck after 15 years of this nonsense. But the reality of the situation is that it's pretty rare that a house is haunted. It's most commonly people that are haunted. Now, people who are haunted have paranormal activity follow them from house to house, place to place. It literally never stops. That is far more realistic, is that a house you're living in wasn't necessarily haunted when you bought it, but you or someone in your family may have brought that in. Okay, so yes, we have haunted houses. You know, yes, demons exist. Yes, these bigger things exist. But the easiest place to look, if you think there is paranormal toxic energy going on, is to look at the people themselves first. Keep it in mind. Number five, we may see an increase when we talk about paranormal activity kicking up out of nowhere. We could be looking at someone in the house who went through an awakening, a kundalini. They've come into consciousness. They are now woke. And that happens for a lot of different reasons. Maybe you got pregnant. Maybe you had a baby, right? Maybe you had an increase with your intuition. Someone close to you died. You had a near-death experience. There are a million reasons. When we talk about all the reasons intuition increases, we talk about this at empathic awareness training. When that happens, it comes with a lot of negativity. That's an unfortunate side effect. And that is because you detox. You have to let go when you go through an awakening of all types of things from your past lives, from your childhood, your current situation. Everything changes. Everything gets stirred. Whatever no longer assists you in your growth and healing and development, right? It needs to go. Every time the bus stops, somebody's got to get off for a door to open, another door has to close. Well, through that process, it causes a lot of distress for the person. Not just energetically, literally. Relationships fall apart. Divorces are very common. We could see changes in the work and money. All kinds of things happen. This is one reason you may see an increase in paranormal activity. If you went through something amazing, like you had a spiritual awakening, okay? We have to look at the positive and the negative. You may also have paranormal problems because you had a level up, or you were at least about to have a level up in your life. We did a class here called Your Fear of Leveling Up. We did another one called Fighting the Dark, okay? Check out Fighting the Dark. 5 ways you get attacked every single time you're about to level up. If you don't know how to protect yourself, it's just going to come at you. You're going to wonder what is wrong, and it can feel like bad karma, and it isn't. Get educated on what happens, but a level up could definitely be a reason for negative lower energies in the universe to want to hold you back and hold you down and prevent that. Now, let's look at number six. Something important to remember, land issues are a separate problem, and land issues are a much bigger problem than having like just a haunted house. When I'm looking at a land issue, I'm looking at a space that was used at one time for something that was really dynamic. Maybe it was Indian burial ground. Maybe it was tribal land. Maybe it was sacrificial space. You know, something went on there. Maybe there was a battle on that land. Something happened, and it's kind of like a portal. It's kind of like a vortex type of an idea where it attracts other energies. So everything that gets attracted to that piece of land after it feeds that original energy. Okay, so that means that we can't just cleanse a house. We have a land problem. This goes way back beyond the structure of your 1950s ranch that's got issues. It's something that needs to be looked at very seriously. And when we are talking about a land issue, sometimes the best thing to do is to leave, okay, if it's becoming too much. Just something to keep in mind. Number seven, we need to understand that the things that occurred in 2020, not to say that they weren't already there, but the exposure of those things, I want you to think about everything that happened in 2020, wherever you are in the world tuning into this. What happened in your country at that time? What was happening in the world around you? Not even including necessarily the pandemic, the paranoia that it creates, the constant focus on death, the threat, loss of loved ones. Even beyond that, what else was going on? There was a whole lot in 2020, okay? It was the great shakeup. It was the beginning of what I believe is the awakening that's going on now, preparing us to finally accept things like this and realities like this and get back to our roots. And while that's beautiful, we also are not done with it, okay? So we have things that feed attachments, possessions, cults, paranoia, conspiracy theories. We have the racial injustice and the systemic racism, but also the upheaval of those that have been oppressed, the poverty system. We have so much surfacing. Those groups of people, minorities, those that are marginalized, those that have been oppressed. We have so much battle and war going on. Okay, white supremacy skyrocketing. Again, not to say that these things weren't already there, but they are exposed. All of this, and then the trauma from the COVID-19 is creating so much additional paranormal activity and so many people who aren't aware of how to protect themselves from it that we're seeing it spill over onto those that aren't feeding the toxic problems. You know, those that are really trying to do their best and be positive are unfortunately at this time being really negatively affected by it, okay? So pay attention to what's happening in the world around you. And it will always be things like this that activate it to, you know, a higher degree, always. All right, so I always open up curriculum to the members here on YouTube. And we did have a member, Alex, who said, I moved into my home in August of 2020, and I knew the last owner passed away here. I didn't think anyone else had, but living here, I learned that's not the case. Two others have passed here as well. Sometimes it gets crazy, but sometimes it's calm. So I'm going to say this to Alex. I'm going to read off the list to you. You need to pay attention to things that occur in your house that make you feel as though you're being violated. There's a huge difference between feeling kind of uncomfortable or uncertain, or that spirit is strange or weird, versus you actually being attacked and your boundaries not being respected. Okay, that is the cutoff point where we move from being willing to live in community with spirit. And we should live in community to the point of night sweats with spirit, because that wasn't your house, right? That wasn't always your house. That's their house too. It was theirs before you possibly were even born, before you even existed, before you were there. So we don't want to disrespect them. At the same time, boundaries do need to be set, and you need to treat them just like you would treat any live human being, right? People shouldn't be touching you. People shouldn't be pulling your hair. People shouldn't be taking advantage. People shouldn't be in your bedroom. People shouldn't be watching you while you take a shower. There are things. They don't need to be talking to your kids. You don't need some strange man off the street talking to your child. Whatever, right? So we set boundaries with them. Now I break down how to do that in a ceremonial way in the hauntings, clearings, and detachments class. But ultimately, what I think you need to be paying attention to is that big difference between, there's activity in my house, and that's okay. Makes me a little uncomfortable versus it's actually disrespecting my boundaries and I feel attacked. And that's a problem where you unfortunately are going to have to clear. Yes, absolutely. When we have any type of incident that is super toxic, like I said earlier, somebody got sick, there was some type of tragedy, someone had despair, depression, anytime we see that clustered in one area, and certainly a death or suicide from it would be a cluster in one area, we see it as an activator point. And so it attracts other negative energy and attention to it. And it's almost like they feed off of each other and then they spread out into the house and can cause problems for the humans living there for sure. We want to think of everything like this. Energy attracts energy. Like attracts like. And also, we have law of attraction in the universe. That's a fact. When we put something out, that's what we're going to get back. So we not only see an accumulation, we can also, like, it's a scientific guarantee, okay, that something positive will attract positive, something negative will attract negative. So just keep those things in mind as you go forward. So let's talk about 10 signs that your house is haunted, okay? Number one, you hear knocking in sets of three. Typically, this is going to happen throughout the night. It could also be banging, like a door banging, okay, cabinets opening and closing. We tend to notice this, though, the most between, here's number two, the haunting hour, between 3 and 5:30 in the morning. Some people call it the witching hour. Really internationally recognized, okay, as a time when spirits communicate. Now, when we're talking about the knocking, we're talking about something quite bad. There is a big difference between being woken up between 3 and 5:30 in the morning, the haunting hour, and having your ancestors or your guides trying to communicate with you, okay? Or spirits that are kind of annoying that want to pass through. There's a huge difference between that and things like the knocking, okay, which is more of a sign of demonic entities. This is very rare, but it does happen. So don't confuse the two. Sometimes people listen to lists like this and they go, oh my God, well, that's all demonic. Calm down, okay? It's not all demonic. Half of it is not even that important. It's just paranormal activity in your house. It's not necessarily dangerous or even hugely disruptive. But some of these things are very serious. So let's not pool everything together. Number one, knocking in sets of three. Number two, being woken up between 3 and 5:30 in the morning, the haunting hour. Number three, being grabbed or having your hair pulled. Now, when I'm talking about being grabbed, it's not going to happen, again, in an obvious way. You're not going to be having lunch with your ma at the table and you take a bite of your sandwich and something comes and grabs at you. It's going to typically be when you're asleep, when you're the most vulnerable, when it can upset you the most, when it can get the most energy, right? Think of a Monsters, Inc. If you've ever seen that Disney movie, it was, I thought, based on some good reality and truths in the paranormal community. The monsters would go in and they would scare the children. They would bottle the fear and they would use it as an energy source. That's basically a huge component for negative energies to work up to things like becoming an attachment or a possession for you. Okay, but they need that food source. So if all they're going to get out of you is a good scare, they're going to do it when you're asleep. Typically pull your feet, pull your hair, scratch you somewhere. All right, so we definitely have the potential for you to be physically harmed at that point because it will escalate. Think of them as being bullies. If you don't knock that bully on the playground out, you're going to have a consistent problem. I was taught, somebody touches you, knock them out. Make it clear. This is not going to happen again. And quite frankly, I raised my own kids that way. You never start anything, but you need to be the one who finishes it. And you need to do it quick. Catch them off guard. But this is no different. So we can't really negotiate and set boundaries, okay, and ask for help and use our crystals. when we have been improperly touched, whether it be sexually or in the ways that I just mentioned, where it was to cause pain. Okay. Hair pulling is also not funny, even though sometimes it's not that hard. It's not appropriate. And you would notice that when things like this are happening, you're often being watched when you're in the shower. We could also see that you have bruises and things and you don't know where they came from. So you could be attacked at night and you're not even fully realizing it, or you think you're just having nightmares. These often do come along with nightmares, okay? Night terrors, I should say. All right, let's talk about number four. Hearing your name called in a menacing way. There is a huge difference between your guides, your loved ones talking to you, especially between 3 and 5:30 in the morning, trying to get your attention, your sleep. They want to visit you in dreams. They want to give you a message. There's a big difference between that and this. So when we're talking about your name being called, being whispered in a menacing way, and hearing something like laughter, there is a problem. Someone is trying to frighten you and they're letting you know that they've targeted you. Let's move on to number five, seeing ghost children in your house. This is a common problem for people that are very sweet, people that are very sensitive, people that are very maternal, paternal, parental, right? The people who want to help are going to notice this one the most. Or if you think you're living in a property that has like some paranormal charm and then you start to see a lot of kids, something important to remember is that children are the go-to for shapeshifters. All right, people hear that word and they go, what? That's not a real thing. That's something they talk about in movies. Oh, it's a real thing. It's talked about in movies where they've done really good research on paranormal activity for a reason. Shapeshifters could be more severe negative energies, entities, that are capable of transforming their image into different things. Now, that could be anything from a dog to a shadow to children. And because humans, and unfortunately kids, living kids, because this is the easiest go-to, they're able to steal the energy that they want from you, and they can get in and infiltrate your family because you have sympathy, thinking maybe they're lost, maybe they need help crossing into the light. You know, oh my God, what happened to this child? Shapeshifters are going to use children, all right? So don't trust that the kid you're seeing in your house is actually a kid at all. Number six, a disgusting stench. So when there is a smell like rotten meat, rotten food, a dead anything, that smell, along with like, you know, that sulfur smell is, and I'm going to mention number seven now with this, smoke, okay? These are signs that you have a serious paranormal problem. So this isn't like elementals coming in and using trickery. This is an old hag, that nasty witch that sits on your chest and steals your energy in the night. This isn't a shadow man. This isn't something simple. This is more complex and it's not going anywhere at that point. You're going to have to fight back and get it out of there. So that smell is often connected to demonic activity. I wouldn't say that it always is, but we're in the ballpark and we're definitely looking at an attachment converting into a possession at that time. That is very serious. Okay? Again, I talk about this more at the Hauntings, Clearings, and Attachments class. If you want the full 2-hour training, check that out. Now, when I'm talking about smelling smoke, I'm not talking about cigar smoke, cigarette smoke. I'm talking about fire. You think there's a literal fire in the house. It'll come and go, and sometimes you're going to be the only one who smells any of this. Let's move on to number eight. A trail of dead flies. It doesn't have to be flies, but they tend to be everywhere, and that is the most common thing to see. But it could be any kind of insect where you see a line of them forming, and it's leading out of the place with the highest level of toxic paranormal activity. Here's a good example. There was a hotel I've been working on buying for the last few years. And every time I went in, the broker would say, oh yeah, I have keys to all the other rooms. 24 rooms, I could only get into 23. And I would say, why aren't you giving me the key to this room? I've been out here 4 times. I've got my investors with me. we need to see every room to understand what damages there are here. He said, oh, we don't have the key for that room. You know, it got lost. Somebody, I told them to make it and they didn't. Oh, we blame it on somebody else. I said, look, I need to get in this room. What he didn't know was that I already knew what had happened in that room. I knew that someone had been murdered in that room about 100 years prior. And when I had done investigation on it, there is a book, because you have to disclose these things. I live in New York State. In New York State, you have to disclose things like this. You can't have people sleeping in there. And if you sell a house that's haunted, you're also supposed to disclose that, as far as I know. So in this book, there were reports in the newspaper. You know, there were many different things that had happened in that hotel, several different murders, but that room in particular had a bad history of it. And he was trying to hide it by locking the room so that any potential buyers didn't get freaked out by the energy of the room. One of the things I noticed when I went back was that there was a trail of flies coming out of that room. Now, we've got 3 stories, 24 rooms, a beautiful old historic hotel, and you've got one trail of flies coming out of that room where this horrid murder happened. So there you go. Just an example of how it will go. You have to keep energy like that moving, flowing. And when they shut the hotel down and locked that room, it stopped flowing. So the flies came back. The activity kicked back up. All right, let's talk about number 9. Infestation of rodents or bugs. You could start to see rats. You could start to see mice or any kind of rodent or even bees. You could see really any kind of bug that it's usually winged animals. I don't see ants as being a huge problem with this, but typically we see bugs that are more, I can't even talk about it, creepy, like centipedes, you know, millipedes, things like this. Okay. Now, one of the interesting things that I've noticed over the years is that you can literally check and be like, okay, well, do I live in a wet area? Is it possible that they're like breeding under my house? Okay, well, if you see something like that, typically your neighbors would have, you know, not all your neighbors, but typically on either side, they would have a similar problem. If they don't, and it's just you, you've got an infestation. You would have some of these other signs going on already by that time. Let's talk about number 10. If your sacred objects, like pictures of your loved ones, pictures of your family, are smashed, knocked down, flipped upside down, you know, missing, constantly getting moved in some way, that's not good. It's a threat. It's a sign of attack that's already begun. If you have something that you consider very religious or spiritual in your house, like a cross, for example, it means a lot to you. It is about your faith. It's about your power. It's about your connection to something holy. It's how you stay connected to God and you feel safe and secure, all right, and protected. Well, guess what? That's also going to get knocked down off the walls, flipped upside down, smashed. Things like this are really common when we have a bigger problem going on than just your typical haunting, annoying, you know, human spirits. We would call them earthbounds. This is often more severe, but you also still need to approach the clearing and the cleansing on the house like you are taking charge. Because sometimes these are tactics that elementals use. These are tactics that lesser spirits will use just to freak you out. This is why I talk a lot about not giving anything more credit than what it deserves, okay? So with a lot of these, we want to sort of start off by saying like, I'm going to take, you know, a grain of salt and we're going to see where it goes. And some of these are definitely not to be ignored, okay? And you do have a full-blown problem. Again, if you need a paranormal consultation with me, you can book that at any time. I do treat them as though they are emergency readings. They do get moved up. And we have the call center 7 days a week where you can get a paranormal consultation. And your daughter may be very mediumistic. So one of the really unfortunate things that I see is that we have kids that have this ability and the paranormal activity starts to follow them in childhood. And I'm not saying that, you know, you didn't support her, but a lot of people don't get the support that they need. And so if the parents say, that's not real, you know, stop saying that, there's no such thing as like ghosts under the bed, this and that, they never really learn how to work with the energy and how to protect themselves. And they do end up with long-term paranormal problems. Anything built on tribal land, sometimes even if you are a member of that tribe, we do see increased problems because of the land and really heavy history there. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people built on burial grounds and things like this. But even if it was just, you know, a place where there were a lot of ceremonies and things held, or a tribe spent a significant period of time, I can feel that a mile away. And I'm sometimes shocked at what's built upon it. I had a family member who built on a piece of land like that. And, you know, they lived in a trailer for about 2 years while they built it. And they loved their house. They had a beautiful fireplace and woodwork. And it just looked like just a peaceful cabin type of house with stone, and everyone in the family loved that house. But at night, they would hear, the children would see masks, native masks, coming at them, biting at them. Some witch, I never saw it when I slept there, but a witch with almost like fangs coming and biting at the children at the bottom of the bed, and drums. They could still hear, and that sound of the drums, the ceremonial drums, it was just, and to watch some of them groan today, they're not doing too well. You know, they have anxiety disorders and all kinds of strange developmental problems. And so it's like, we need to really be mindful before we purchase a property or we build a property that we are respecting what was there previously. And be careful also for the woods, but train tracks and moving water. Okay, those are also conductors. I would definitely recommend watching the Hauntings, Clearings, and Detachments class. I talk in there about boundaries that you can set at night. And then again, in the Dreams class, also up on the website, I talk about how to protect yourself, you know, when you're sleeping, and how to maintain that upper hand and use techniques like lucid dreaming to keep in control so that you can get a restful night. Because it gets hard once you're more intuitive. They're coming and they're attracted to you more, but it's also like you're more aware of things that you didn't have to be aware of before. And so it's not just about the way you handle them and set boundaries with them. It's also about the way you handle your own self and get control over your mind, because we've got to minimize that fear. And remember, our sleep is our sacred space and sacred time to recuperate. I think that you need to listen, and I think that you need to go back and rewatch it. And I think that you need to handle it if you feel that you do. Again, everything we talked about here breaks down when it's not good and you're gonna have to act, and when you can probably handle it yourself and negotiate. Start with boundary setting. Well, I guess I don't really consider that a haunting as much as I do passing through. We have a lot of spirits that go into the light. Animals go into the light. So that's like a guarantee. Animals are the healing entities of the universe. That's what they do. They work for angels. They work directly under angels. So we have a triad. We have angels, we have animals, and we have empaths. So they work together. It's a guarantee that when an animal dies, it's going to cross over into the light. But not all humans choose to do that. And so when we talk about spirits in the light and the big difference between them and earthbound spirits, we're really talking about the ability to transfer between the worlds. And you can have an animal that runs through your house and is just like visiting, is just running through your house, but is actually from the light, versus an earthbound spirit, a person who never transferred into the light, who literally still like lives in your house, right? That's a totally different thing. So animals don't haunt in the way that an earthbound spirit might haunt, and not earthbounds are really haunting in a menacing way either. We can sometimes live in fine community with them. But I think that one of the other things that we see is something called residual energy. And a lot of people mistake residual energy for intelligent energy. So you may assume that you have a haunted house, you know, with like a haunted cat that runs through, and actually it's residual. It's just like a replay. It's like a record on replay. Anytime that cat would have ran around, it's an energetic impression and it replays. It's not real. Okay. For those of you who want to learn more on the difference between intelligent energy and residual energy, again, that's in the class curriculum. Go back to the class, you know, because that's a big topic of discussion. I can't get to that in like 3 minutes or less here, but yes, we need to stop labeling things. Often I see that in the ways that they've been labeled. There's such a lot of misunderstanding there. It's sort of like the way the church would come in and blanket the treatment of a possession, you know, do an exorcism, a haunted house, whatever. They would just blanket it with like holy water or, you know, the cross, the Bible. It's called chaos magic. You have to approach each situation based on what it is. You have to approach, and sometimes we are fighting each spirit based on what they are. And sometimes that's not much of a fight. Sometimes it's like swatting a fly. Other times it is very dangerous. And we have to know what we're doing. And so we want to learn the language of mediumship. We want to have the ability to listen to the spirits that are causing these problems, because otherwise, how can we treat it? There are many ideas, like she talked about the colonization of everything, right? So we say, well, it's all demonic and these things will lead to demonic activity. That certainly is not the case. And when we look at earthbounds, like you said, that does tend to be the most common misconception out there, that people have an earthbound spirit or even a spirit from the light who just goes back and forth and visits. And we automatically think that it's something much bigger than what it is. That's a much bigger conversation. I know exactly what you're saying. It's so much cha-cha, too. It's so much drama that people have put on it. And again, I want to go back to the media and the damage they've done for the last 15 years. And I want to remind people something I say a lot, is that when we buy a ticket to go through a haunted house, and the people making cash off of you don't know how to even protect themselves, they are polluting you. You go into that haunted house, you go into that insane asylum, that toxic prison where abuse and horrific things occurred, and you take that problem home with you. Now you've got a dead dog, all the fish are bottom up at the top of the tank. You've got a husband who starts drinking and having aggression issues. You have job loss, mental illness running rampant through the family. Somebody develops cancer. This is all a sign that it got in. And people who are just profiting off of that cash, it disgusts me. This is serious. It's not to be toyed with. It needs to be respected when it should, where we can live in community. And we also need to seriously protect ourselves. This is not entertainment. One of the ways we end up with all the problems I just spoke about, the dead pets, the kids having nightmares, right? The aggression, the divorce, all of this can also happen when we see kids like playing with things like the Ouija board. Yes, it could have. Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I believe that if someone is properly trained in the psychic and mediumistic language, I believe that they could do great things using a tool, whether it be the rods or pendulum or tarot cards or Ouija board or crystal ball or palm reading or tea leaves or coffee grounds or da 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 da. I don't care what, you know, runes, whatever. But when people are not properly trained, they get had. And the Ouija board is the easiest way to basically invite something toxic in. And the spirits that tend to come through the Ouija board really latch on very intensely, very, very quickly. And they often come through as children or a dead relative. Usually it's your dead grandma. They pretend to be your dead grandma or something like that. So you trust them. There are many ways to identify when you have a full-on problem, and it would mostly look like, especially in the beginning phases, it would look like you completely changing. You would be more aggressive. You may have outbursts. You may have blackouts. Okay, you may stop socializing. You may become paranoid. A lot of things like that. You start to change. You may also notice, for those of you tuning in, that you noticed a problem like that around the time you were drinking or using drugs. That's the number one gateway for them to get in. So yes, it's very possible. Again, what do? You have this problem? Book a paranormal consultation with me. You have literally an emergency? Book a paranormal consultation through the call center. We have 7 days a week. Check out the free mini class here called How to Clear. Check out Attachments and Possessions and the Hauntings, Clearings, and Attachments class. The full 2-hour training is up on the website. I hope this helps you guys. I think it's really important that we don't just treat it like it's entertaining. I think it's really important that we realize that it's running rampant worldwide right now, especially in America. It's so obvious that people, I mean, look at their eyes, that they're crazy, that they're losing their minds, that they're going dark. It's part of the Hopi prophecy. I believe that in the transition, or we would say the end times, when the awakening is occurring, that we would see people drop into the darkness because they've been feeding it for too long. It's almost like time is up and we're seeing more and more people fall that way. Now, they're not personally my concern. Okay, that's what they chose. That's what they get. That's karma. I've worked for years trying to help people like that. Here's my concern, that good people stuck being around them are being taken down. And we really need to watch our brothers and sisters and give the help that's needed and not listen to, you know, old religious systems or people that want to be overly scientific and say that this isn't real or that identifying this is bad. We do need to be realistic. It is very real. There is high and there is low. There is light and there is dark. There is positive and there is negative. And the negative will find a way to overtake you if you're not educated in protecting yourself. Okay. So help yourself, help others. And we will see you guys next time. Thank you so much. Thank you, Polly. See you guys later. Thanks so much.